Well, as we come to the text again, working through the Sermon on the Mount, we will be back in Matthew chapter 7. We'll finish this section here that I began last week. And thinking on, as we talked about last week, that this began with entering into the kingdom of heaven and how to enter to the kingdom. And we looked that Jesus had given a directive, and that directive resulted in a choice followed by two consequences. And so there were two choices, to either enter by the narrow gate or the wide gate, and then the consequences of which choice you make. My Savior illustrated those two choices then with the gates that open to these paths. And today, as we look in this text here in Matthew chapter 7, we will again see a directive given to us by the Savior. And he will again illustrate that with a couple of things to draw out our attention and to help us to be mindful of and cautious of. And so if we have entrance to the kingdom, we are to look for evidence of being in the kingdom, and we are to experience the kingdom. As those are the big points as I have broke up, and I see this passage being broke up. The directive that the Lord Jesus gives us today, as we will pick up in verse 15, is to beware of false prophets. To beware of false prophets. Coming to this section, and really, frankly, any time I have the privilege of coming to teaching God's Word, the words of James sometimes almost hauntingly ring in my ears. But let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. And yet what a privilege to get to communicate the Word of God. The wonder that He would use us in spite of our humanity. And so that is my prayer as we come to this text today. And so Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, we will take the whole section here again from 13 to 23. Enter by the narrow gate. The gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And few are those who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad trees, bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Let's just pray and ask God to help us. Father, again, I thank you for who you are. And oh, that you would help us, that you would help me to know you more. Because even here in this text, we see that those that are yours know you and do your will. So I ask that you'd help us. I ask that you would help me, that Holy Spirit, you would empower me in spite of my humanity, that you would help me to communicate clearly your word of truth. We thank you for your word. Help us to treasure it. And we ask that you would teach us and help us with the warnings that are in this text so that we would be found faithful. And so guide us now as we look into your precious and holy word. And it's in your name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. So as we come to this now, we've talked about the entrance to the kingdom, about the two gates that lead to the two paths, one leading to destruction, one leading to life. And then the Lord Jesus gives us another directive, a warning. He says, beware of the false prophets. And in doing so, he's going to give us these illustrations, and they will be things for us to look to, that they will be evidences of us being in the kingdom and those who are not in the kingdom. And so we begin looking at that with the caution. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. We see that they're deceitful. They put on an air of being someone who has walked through that narrow gate, is on the narrow path, but they are not. They are putting on the air of someone who is one of his sheep, as we've read last week from John chapter 10, how he communicates how he is the good shepherd. But they are deceitful. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. Their desire is to lead astray. And it's something to look and see how much throughout the scriptures God warns his people about false teachers, of false prophets. His desire is for us to walk in truth. And there is the reality, as Paul wrote, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. There is a spiritual warfare going on. The one who said, I will be like the Most High, I will ascend, the one who was cast down, the adversary, Satan, the devil, the dragon, desires to rob God of his glory. And thus it is real. There is a warfare we are in the midst of. And there are those that, as the Lord Jesus talks about, again in that section there talking about him being the good shepherd, how there are those that don't do the will of the Father. Why? Because their father is Satan. Because they haven't trusted in who Jesus is. They did not believe in what he'd done. And so there is a grave caution for us here as we choose to follow and accept the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have to be cautious that there are those that will proclaim that which is false. Even within the walls of a church, even within the walls of Christendom. But they are false prophets. They are false teachers. And the Lord Jesus is warning us to beware of them because they are deceitful. Matthew chapter 24, we see more warning from the Lord Jesus about this. Matthew 24, verse 11, it says, and many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's loves will grow cold. And then continuing on later in chapter 24, verse 24, it says, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. And the Lord Jesus is warning us that there are those that will rise up, that they are false prophets, false teachers, trying to do false works of Christ, and even that in the time of the great tribulation, there will be the Antichrist who will raise up and again doing wondrous things, but he is false. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 21 says, yet, let me go ahead and go back up as with regards to the parable. Wait, sorry. Redo, not a typo. Mark 13. I was like, parable soils does apply, but that's not where I was at. That's not looking right. Mark chapter 13, excuse me. Make a humorous anecdote about that. At one point in time when I was a youth pastor, we would work with the young people, and we had where every fifth Sunday we would have a youth Sunday at church, and I got to work with the young men and teach them how to preach, or try to teach them how to preach, and we would do skits and songs and things like that. And one of the young men that I worked with, he coined the phrase that every time I would mistakenly read the wrong reference, he would go, "Oh, I'm doing an errand again." So, Aaron is erring. So, Mark chapter 13 is where I wanted to be. Yes, this looks familiar from where I read it and was studying it. Verse 21, "And then if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'Behold, he is there,' do not believe him, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders in order, if possible, to lead the elect astray. But take heed. Behold, I have told you everything in advance." And again, the Lord Jesus has prepared and has done the work for us and is warning us that there are those false teachers, those false prophets who will come. John chapter 8, verse 44. "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He is a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And those who follow after do not follow after Jesus. They are following after Satan, and he is a liar, and his desire is to destroy, to lead astray." Genesis chapter 3, where we see the fall of humanity, the fall of Adam and Eve. We see the interaction with Satan, the adversary, the liar. In verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" Using God's words. "And the woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die.' And the serpent said to the woman, 'You surely shall not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" The battle has been from the beginning, from once that time when Satan was cast down, because of him desiring, because of his pride, desiring to be like or greater than God, being a created being, the battle has been there. Satan does know, and he misuses God's word. And thus, even false teachers and false prophets, they know and use God's word. But they do so incorrectly. And the warning is for us to walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Peter warns about the false prophets in 2 Peter chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1 of 2 Peter. "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. We need to heed the warning of God and of those who wrote the scriptures that the Holy Spirit inspired, that there is coming and there is present. There are false teachers. There are false prophets. And throughout history, the nation of Israel struggled with that. And so we need to be warned. Why? Because they are deceitful. They want to lead astray. And in doing so, it is destructive. The caution is that they are deceitful. And the caution is that they are destructive. They are referred to as wolves in sheep's clothing. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 9:36, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. That they were being torn at as if though by the wolves, desiring to attack them. And he warns us here to beware of those who come dressed in sheep's clothing, these false teachers, because they are destructive. In Jeremiah, God warns again about the false teachers and the false prophets and the struggles that they faced because of following these false teachers and false prophets. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31, it says, "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority, and my people love it so. But what will you do at the end of it?" And then later in Jeremiah chapter 23, confronting again these false prophets and denouncing them. Jeremiah 23, verse 9, "As for the prophets, my heart is broken within me. All my bones tremble. I have become like a drunken man, even like a man overcome with wine, because of the Lord and because of his holy words. For the land is full of adulterers, and the land mourns because of the curse. The pastures of the wilderness have dried up. Their course also is evil, and their might is not right. For both prophet and priest are polluted. Even in my house I have found that their wickedness, declares the Lord. Therefore their way will be like slippery paths to them. They will be driven away into the gloom and fall down in it. For I shall bring calamity upon them, the year of their punishment, declares the Lord. Moreover, among the prophets of Samaria I saw an offensive thing. They prophesied by Baal and led my people Israel astray. Also among the prophets of Jerusalem I have seen a horrible thing, the committing of adultery and walking in falsehood. And they strengthen the hands of evildoers, so that no one has turned back from his wickedness. All of them have become to me like Sodom, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I am going to feed them wormwood and make them drink poisonous water. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, pollution has gone forth into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you will have peace. And as for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, calamity will not come upon you. But who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, that he should see and hear his word? Who has given heed to his word and listened? the reality of false prophets and teachers has plagued the nation of Israel throughout ever since the fall, where the adversary came and caused Eve to question the goodness and the word of God. Jude deals with this as well, again, of false prophets, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Those who were, Jude verse 4 says, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our Lord into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 13, on the first missionary journey, they encounter a false prophet, a false teacher. Verse 6 of chapter 13 of Acts, it says, as when they had gone through the whole land as far as Paphos, they found a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was of the proconsul Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God, but Elymas, the magician, for thus his name was translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. So Paul, who was also known as Paul, or Saul, who was also known as Paul, lifted, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze upon him and said, you are full of deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness. Will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? And so they were confronting this false prophet here. And again, we see that what's the desire? The desire is deceit. It's fraud. And Paul refers to him as a son of the devil. And then again in Acts, if we turn over a few more pages to Acts chapter 20, verses 28 and 30, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among you, your own selves, men will rise, speaking perverse things, and draw away the disciples after them. The warnings of the scriptures of our Lord, of our God, go throughout about warning us that we need to stay focused on the truth, that there are those that will come in, and their desire is to defraud, to lead away, and as wolves, to destroy, to cause danger. So we must be on our guard. Jesus then, back in Matthew chapter 7, uses another illustration with regards to this warning of being aware of those false teachers, those false prophets. That they are wolves in sheep's clothing. And then in verse 16 he says, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And so now he's using the illustration of fruit. There aren't many types of fruit that you are going to go into the thistles for. About the only one I really know of is raspberries. And raspberries will bite you if you're not careful. But think of everything else that is a fruit. There's not that danger. And clearly, grapes don't come from thistles and thorns, nor do figs. And so here we have the confirmation. As we have the caution, there's a confirmation that we can be confirmed about, yes, these are false teachers. Why? By their actions, their fruit. With time and observation, you will be able to tell. They will have appearances. The illustration has been given many times about seeking truth, that with regards to being a bank teller and someone who handles money, you need to know what the real bill looks like, what the real currency looks like. You study the truth so that you can then identify when it's a fake. On the triumphal entry, as Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, Matthew chapter 21, following in this agricultural illustration, the fig tree. Matthew 21, verse 18, it says, "Now in the morning, when he returned to the city, he became hungry, and seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he said, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, 'No longer shall there be any fruit from you.' And at once the fig tree withered. And seeing this, the disciples marveled, saying, 'How did the fig tree wither at once?'" This fig tree was really a picture of what was going on in Jerusalem. How they had all the evidences of fruit, because that's what the fig tree does. It leaves out and then it has the fruit. And it had all the evidences. He came to it expecting to find the fruit. And yet there was none. Thinking about the nation of Israel as he came in at the triumphant entry. All the evidences of fruit. And yet, in one text, the Lord Jesus weeps. He wails over Jerusalem because of their unbelief. And so these false teachers here, back in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is warning that you will be able to know them by their fruit, by their actions. That you will see what they do and how they act. Not just what they say. Because again, their speech, their desire as a teacher, as a false teacher, is to lead you astray, to lead you into destruction. But as you watch, you will be able to see. Jude chapter 12. Or excuse me, there's only one chapter of Jude. Jude verse 12 says, "These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feast. When they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting about their own shame like foam, wandering stars from whom the black darkness has been reserved forever." That you will be able to observe and see what they do and how they act, that they are false. Karen and I thoroughly enjoy and consider it a great privilege to do premarital counseling. We'll fight for marriage any day of the week. We are willing to, if you will, run into the fire for the sake of marriage. And as we do premarital counseling, an unlikely section of scripture that I have the young, engaged, happy, excited couple read is the section of in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 3 about the seven churches. And I have them read and then study this, and then I will ask them after we come back together the next time and say, "So why did I have you read these?" The reality is, as you look through the seven churches, that the false teachers were evident by their actions and their deeds, and almost all of those false teachers practice immorality. Even as we see about what we read in Jeremiah, they practice adultery. And if your marriage is going to be strong, it's going to be vibrant, it's going to last, you have to focus on the truth. And again, there are so many false teachers and prophets out there that will very easily come alongside in times of trouble and say, oh yes, do away with them. We look at the seven churches though. The church at Ephesus hated the works of the Nicolaitans. The Lord Jesus commends them for that. The church of Smyrna endured the blasphemy of the Jews who were the household of Satan. The church of Pergamum had those in their midst who were teaching the teachings of Balaam. The church in Thyatira tolerated the woman Jezebel, who considered herself a prophetess. And again, all the immoralities that went around this woman Jezebel. The church at Sardis was to stay awake and focus on the teaching they had received. The church at Philadelphia will be rewarded for their faithfulness. And then the church at Laodicea was warned because they were lukewarm. O child of God, O Calvary Bible Church, may we be careful to never allow false teachers, false prophets in. I would encourage you to pray for Pastor Jess. If you don't already, pray for Pastor Graham. Pray for Phil and I as elders as well, that we would stay faithful to the truth of the Word of God. There are so many voices crying out to lead astray. We have to stay focused and look at the Word of God. And by God's grace, the fruits of our lives are evident that we are trying to walk with Jesus. But beware, as you hear radio preachers and watch on TV, read books, beware, be cautious. Have the confirmation of how they act, their fruit. Does it represent Christ? Are they godly? Are they pure? Do they love their wives? And those ladies that write books as well and teach, do they love their husbands? Are they submissive to them? The fig tree that the Lord Jesus cursed had every inclination, every evidence it should be filled with fruit, and yet it didn't. Just like the nation of Israel. And so you will be able to be confirmed about whether they are in the kingdom by their fruits, their actions. And then we are to make that assessment. We are to judge them and see whether they are doing what was right, whether they are speaking truth. And in that contrast, we are to be known as believers with good fruit, because he does say, even so, every good tree bears good fruit. Those who have entered through the narrow gate, that are walking the narrow path, they are to be ones who are bearing good fruit. There are to be good teachers within the kingdom of God that are teaching the truth. Paul, in Ephesians 4:22, the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. That we would bear good fruit. James chapter 3, very similar to what Paul wrote there in Ephesians. James chapter 3, verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The child of God is to assess and see, are they bearing good fruit? And then we need to look at our own lives. Are we bearing good fruit? Are we living out before the Lord Jesus truth? Or are our actions, our words communicating that we are a false teacher? Colossians chapter 1. 9, verse 9 through 12. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all aspects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And just like the illustration that the Lord is giving us right now, I don't know if you smell it, but I smell rain. Is that not a pleasing thing? There's something just pleasant about the smell of rain. We as God's children should be pleasing. We should be able to identify the fruit and assess and know them by their fruit as to whether they are a true or false teacher. Which comes about with the reality of whether then they have experienced the kingdom and whether they will experience the kingdom. And we will know that by the practice. They will only do, but they will not know. James chapter 2, verse 19. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. The Lord Jesus, with His encounters with the various demon-possessed individuals, as He encountered them, those demons would speak out through that individual and they would say, Jesus, Son of God, or Jesus, Son of the Most High God. They knew who He was. And yet clearly that individual was not of God at that point in time because they were demon-possessed. Colossians chapter 1, verse 6, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again, now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For I am now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. We need to look at their fruits, their actions, and see what they practice. Do they practice the truth of the Word of God? Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Verse 13 of chapter 1, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren, trusting the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. And the latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. And there will be those who will proclaim Christ, and somehow if they still proclaim Christ, doing so out of envy and strife, that Paul can say that he rejoices over that Christ is proclaimed. But again, we are warned that there are those that are not seeking truth, that they desire to lead astray, they desire to destroy. And so, my question to you then, as we come to a conclusion on this section, is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? What has been your practice? Do you truly know and have a relationship with Him? Because it says here, there are going to be those that you will be able to identify them by their fruit. But they are going to stand before the Lord and they're going to say, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we prophesy? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we perform miracles in your name? And He's going to say, I never knew you. Do you have a relationship with Jesus, or do you just know about Him? In John 10:27, He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. When I was a teenager, my room looked like a shrine to Michael Jordan. I had most of the tennis shoes. I had posters all over the place. I could state facts and things about him. Even knew that his birthday was in the great month of February like mine. I knew a lot about him, but I do not know Michael Jordan. I've never met the man. And unfortunately, that's the case for a lot of people who profess Christ. They know a lot about him, or they know some about him, but they don't know him. They truly haven't trusted in who he is and what he's done. And it's clear here there is a hell to shun, because those bad trees that bear bad fruit will be cut down and they will be thrown into the fire. And the path that is wide that leads to destruction. People of God, there is a hell, and a hell to shun, and a heaven to gain, and to proclaim that. The warning is real, and there is a day where people will face judgment. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 11. Says, and I saw the great white throne and him who sat upon it, for whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up, and the dead which were in it, and the death and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. And the death of Hades were and death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name is not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So regardless of what you do, there is an impending judgment unless you know Him, Lord Jesus, who did the work. There is a grave warning here, because He says He will tell them, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. As we talked about last week, Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. Have you trusted in Him? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. And the reality of time as it continues on, as we've seen throughout, even in the Old Testament with some of the passages we've looked at, there were those that rose up as false prophets and they led the nation of Israel away. Paul writes to Timothy and he warns him in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I solemnly charge you, verse 1, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. We need to be like the Bereans. In Acts chapter 17, verse 10, the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. The Lord Jesus is warning us here that we watch for those who are false teachers, false prophets. We have to know the truth if we're going to do that. We have to be careful to rightly, accurately divide the word of truth. And there is so much this day and age through social media. And actually, one of the blessings, I would say, coming out of COVID is how many church services are now broadcasting on YouTube. And how many opportunities there are for people to divinely stumble upon sound teaching. And yet at the same time, there are many false teachers. There are those who would take the gospel and they would twist it. We need to be like the Bereans. We need to study and see if these things are true. I would encourage you, if I preach, that you study and see if these things are true. By God's grace, I don't want to mess up. I want to speak truth. But one time I was teaching a Sunday school class of teenagers, and I missed a two-letter word preposition in my study that changed the whole meaning of the text. And praise God, those young people were watching and reading along as I was teaching, and one of them had the guts to say, "Whoa, Aaron, that's not what it says here." Oh, we need to stand up for the Word of God. And there is a great warning here in this text. Do you know Jesus? Or do you just know about Him? Because there will be those who will say, "I've done all this in your name." And He will say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Do you know Him? That's why when I talk about my Savior, it's personal. It's my Jesus. I will never forget one of my college professors, and I long to be able to say my Savior like him because of the time, the relationship that he had with Jesus. Just the way, the affection that was there when he said my Savior. Oh, I long to be able to be like that. But child of God, be careful. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you watch. All that is done in the name of Christendom is not truth. Pray for us as your leadership team, because our desire is to walk in truth. Our desire is to lead you in truth. And I'll tell you, I'm impressed with the study that Jess does and how much he knows, and he is being faithful to that. Do you know Jesus? If you do, stand strong in the truth. Beware of false teachers. Father God, I thank you again for your word. It is the truth. It is the light. It is the sword. It is the mirror that we need to stand before us, and so that we can see what we need to change in our lives. It is the milk and the meat that feeds us. And I ask that you'd help us, those of us that claim and know the Lord Jesus Christ, that we truly would have relationship with you, Lord Jesus. And then that we would be defenders of the truth. Guard our church from false teachers. And help us to be vigilant, to stand guard. And help us not to grow lazy like those that Paul wrote to Timothy about, that they just wanted their ears tickled. Help us to love even the hard words of the scriptures that confront us. that, like that sword, cut us deep. And help us to be thankful for those that accurately, carefully wield the Word of God. So, Father, I pray that if there's one here that has only heard about Jesus, they don't know Him, that they would see they need to have a relationship with Him, that today would be the day of salvation. Thank You for Your truth. And thus I pray in Jesus' name, the living Word. Amen.